We pray. Father, we just ask at this time that you will open the eyes of our heart and glorify your name in all that we hear. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't take any more. It's all too much. It's all too hard. I can't do it. These situations or these feelings can be the end, I give up, or they can be the beginning. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15. God says, I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. The valley of Achor, the word Achor means the valley of trouble or the valley of tears. God says, I will make that valley a door of hope. Not the end, but in actual fact, the beginning. So when we come to that time, I can't take any more. It's all too much. It's all too hard. I can't do it. That's when God enters the equation. We are meant to be vulnerable. If you're anything like me, you hate being vulnerable. It's a real struggle. But we are meant to be vulnerable, for it's when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable that God acts, that God comes into it, that God is glorified. We read the passage in Mark, and I want to share that with you again, chapter 1 and verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, a lonely place, where he prayed. And Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, Everyone is looking for you. And Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. Jesus's priority was to spend time with his Father. The disciples came and said, everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. I think we'd be tempted to start a mega church right there and then. Everyone is looking for you. But Jesus said, having spent time with his Father, let us go into the next towns. He allowed himself to be vulnerable. In fact, during his whole ministry, he was vulnerable. And even in his death, he was vulnerable. Hear his cry from the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, believing that his Father would raise him up. How much more vulnerable can you get? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, Paul says, Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. He was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. In Mark chapter 6 and verses 30 to 44, we read the record of the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples said, "It's time to send them away so they can get some food." Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." The disciples said, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus broke the loaves and the fish. This is a recipe for a food riot when you look at that context. For the many years that I spent at Westcare, there's no way that I could have broken 2 loaves and a few fish. And yet in all the time that I was serving at Westcare, I never knew a lunchtime when there wasn't sufficient food, when it didn't work out. Vulnerability and God acts. And what then? There were 12 basketfuls left over when God is involved. 2 Corinthians 12 and verses 7 to 9, Paul talks about God giving him a thorn in the flesh. 3 times he pleaded with the Lord to take it away. "Please, Lord, heal me." We don't know what it was. Probably the closest thing I've heard is it's an after effect of the blindness that he felt in his conversion. "Please take it away, Lord." And God's reply to Paul was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My power is made perfect in weakness. I don't know about you, but come into grips with that and all that it means. We want perfection in our life. We will find that perfection in our weakness. Vulnerability allows for God's power. My power is made perfect in weakness. One of the main points of theology, but one which is largely overlooked, is the theology of weakness, of vulnerability. But the whole history of Israel gives us example after example after example. The opening up of the Red Sea, how vulnerable would it have been to walk between 2 walls of water across the Red Sea? How vulnerable would it be to march around the walls of Jericho for 7 days with the priests blowing their trumpets and then give 1 loud shout and the walls fall down? The walls collapsed. God's power is made perfect in some of the things that would be typified to us to be weakness. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, I don't know whether you know the story of the defeat of Moab and Ammon, but in Judah, the king Jehoshaphat was told that a vast army was coming against Jerusalem, and it was only 2 days away. Jehoshaphat cried out to God and proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Pretty good example for us in our lives, isn't it? He proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. We do not know what to do, he cried. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Vulnerability from the king's heart. And there was a little add-on that came with that. He said, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. But our eyes are upon you. And then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, the prophet, and he said, this is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, it's God's. March down to them. He didn't let them off the hook. March down to this vast army. But you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions in front of this vast army. Stand firm in front of this vast army and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. They still had to be prepared, but the battle is not yours, but God's. Jehoshaphat sent the music team at the head of the army to praise God for his holiness. It's a bit of a warning, Alan, actually. The way of God was to send the worship leaders at the head of the army. The armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir fought amongst themselves and killed each other. Vulnerability. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I think I've shared with you once a time when Mary and I were up at a place called Lajamanu in the Tanami Desert, and we were just relieving an Aboriginal pastor for 4 to 5 weeks so he could have a break. And there was a chap there, probably in his mid-30s, and he'd been involved in a major car accident. His name was William. And he'd had some brain damage. And his daughter had to be separated from him because of this. And she lived in another community. And William used to come across for morning tea with me each morning that I was there. He loved yo-yo biscuits, so Mary would always have a few yo-yo biscuits there. But after a while, he'd come down every day and he'd be limping down the lane towards me and he'd be going like this. For those of you who have heard it before, he was mindful of my name, David. He'd go like this, and then he'd say, big man for nothing. Every day, big man for nothing. He was talking about Goliath, of course. Goliath was a big man for nothing. But David stood there in front of him with his slingshot and a few stones. And God glorified his name. But David had to be willing to be vulnerable. Back to Hosea. I will make the valley of tears the door of hope. In Hosea chapter 8, and verse 4, Hosea describes the problem because God declares, Israel has set up kings without my consent. They choose princes, but not by me. Perfectly normal thing. We set up kings and we choose princes and we do things like that. But the literal words are, not by me. Not with me. Not in me. I don't know whether that rings a bell with you, but how much of our lives is spent doing things, but not necessarily in and with God. Chapter 10 and verse 13 of Hosea. The other reason is because you have depended on your own strength. Because you have depended on your own strength. Back to Mark chapter 1. Verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus spent time with his Father. He listened, and then he acted. And he acted in communion, in oneness with his Father. Vulnerability goes hand in hand with nearness to God. We need to take the risk of letting God accompany us, and in turn we're prepared to accompany those whom God entrusts to us. God's grace comes to us in the context of weakness, of vulnerability. In today's Western church, I think we're too prone to do things in our own strength, in our own wisdom. The world tells us to pull up our socks, to stand on our own two feet, to lift our game. Our God cries out, my people are doing good things, but not by me, not with me, not in me. I'm so grateful that my cry of, I don't know what to do, is the door of hope. That in my weakness, God pours out his power and his strength and glorifies his name forever. Shall we pray? Father, it's our desire that you will glorify your name in us and through us. And for that reason, we come to you, that you might be our strength, that you might be our guide, that you might be our partner, that we might do everything with you and in you. So, Father, move in our hearts. Grant us the desire to be with you first thing in the morning and to go into the day with you, to live the day in your presence, in oneness with you, to watch as you glorify your name in and through us. Let that be our portion, please. And let that be our portion as a church. That as your family, we might hold your hand as we make decisions, as we go forward, as we grow, as we care for one another. So, Father, this morning, we ask afresh, glorify your name in us. For we ask it in Jesus' name.